Sunday Meditation, May 18th, 1997. The question this week has to do with the concept of the choice. We're wondering, just anything you can tell us about the choice, but specifically, how much of it we actually make consciously, how much of it is just what we discover as we go through our lives, that we discover we've made a choice by the way we've behaved. And as we're considering being of service to others, and this being the foundation of the choice, whether it's deeply made subconsciously or consciously, what can you tell us about giving over one's identity to serving another in what we have called codependent relationships, where there seems to be a total service of another person? How does that differ from true service? Whenever we make any choice, what really are we doing?
We are those of the principle known to you as Akul. And we greet each of you in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator whom we serve. We bless and thank each for making the choice to be a part of this circle of seeking and for inviting us to share with you our humble opinions. We are most happy to share those with you. It is for this reason that we are within your inner planes at this time. And it is of great service to us to be allowed to speak through this and other instrument. For this is our means of being of service at this time. And you make that service possible. Thusly, you teach us much more than we you. As always, we ask one thing of you, and that is that you discriminate carefully in listening to us and to any who would seek to offer their views and thoughts. For each entity is the guardian and keeper of its own heart and soul, and each has within that ability to discriminate, that ability to recognize personal truth. If we are fortunate enough to offer a thought that is a resource or a tool, we are happy. But if we do not, we are just as happy if you will put our thoughts down and move on. For truly, we wish for each to find his and her own way, as each is as unique as a snowflake and as crystalline and as delicate. This day you wish to consider that choice that is the hallmark of the third density world, which you now enjoy. And certainly, the density is one of endless choice. But let us look first at the first choice. And that was the choice of the Creator to know itself. In choosing to know itself, the Creator flung from itself the innumerable and infinite sparks of love, which coalesced into each awareness. That dwells within the infinite creation. Each of those sparks of awareness is the Creator. And yet, because the Creator chose free will, in the manifesting of sparks of self, each spark is unique and has been unique since before time began. Each of you is eternal and in many ways immutable, a citizen of infinite nature, worth and value. Each one a holograph of the Creator, and yet each one different. Thus, the choice that birthed each of you was a choice to know the truth, to know the self. And as the Creator is love, so is each entity love. This is the central truth. This is that which does not change. Yet this is that which is ever wrapped in mystery. Each within this circle has come through many planes of existence. Has learned a great deal. And each within this circle chose not only this incarnation now being experienced, but also that cast of characters with whom each entity interacts in the family, in the close associations of friends, in all those who have significant connections with the self. There were agreements made before incarnation, most notably with the parents, the mate, those within the bonds of kinship, of blood, and of commonality of interest. Each difficulty, each crux that leaves one in a position of being forced to discover the self, has been placed not with a hand that desires to punish, but with the hand of loving self that wishes to serve ever more deeply, ever more purely. Before incarnation, it appeared to each of you that remembering who you were and why you came would be possible, indeed might be easy. Such is the attitude of those who gaze upon a thing from the outside, with the first breath taken as an infant, newborn into a strange world. The veil of forgetting who you are, where you are going, dropped. And the illusion, an excellent illusion, became that which was real. And yet, within each of you, there was that awareness that this was not quite as it should be, that this culture, this way of being and relating and living was significantly different and substantially less harmonious than each somehow remembered deep within the self. And so was born a divine discontent within each breast, a restlessness with the surface illusion, a desire to penetrate that veil of forgetting and come to an honest and authentic realization of who each entity is and where each is going and why. There is a hunger that overtakes the spirit when it has recovered a sufficient amount of that memory that cannot quite be veiled. And so each that hears these words has already made difficult choices, sacrificial choices that enable the seeking process to gain momentum and to become more valued within the life pattern. We are aware that each is quite familiar with the choice of service to self or service to others. That is the foundation choice of this particular density. In addition to this choice of service, there is a component which has to do with the purity or extremity of service. We have often called this aspect of the choice polarity. For something can be chosen with a wide range of urgency, a wide spectrum of intensity of desire. There has been the puzzlement expressed in the conversation preceding our remarks concerning how one can truly be of service. The paradox is that when one is of service to others, one automatically is serving the self. For that which is offered is returned 100-fold. It seems clear that each other person is also the self, is also the creator, and so serving others is serving self. Further, before one can be free to serve another, one must come into relationship with the self. And the process of arriving at a love and acceptance of the self may seem very selfish and egotistical. The hallmark of spiritual issues is paradox. The answers trail off into mystery, without exception. Thusly, we cannot define for you or make absolutely clear to you with any words, no matter how lucid, the whole and complete nature of choice. However, we would speak to you of the will. For this aspect of self is heavily involved in work upon the self, especially that work upon self which would best be described as indigo ray. For there is work upon the self at each level or each energy center of the being. It is appropriate and important to work at each energy level, to work with issues of survival, of relationship, of groups, to work at opening the heart, to work at open communication. And to do this work, one must use the will. Yet it remains the greatest challenge of this particular illusion to find the right use of will. In what is willed, in what is desired, lies the teaching, the learning, the confusion, the difficulties, all of that which comes forth from that desire or from that use of will. For the polarity which is service to self, the use of the will is never in question. For the will is that which takes charge. Whatever is decided to be desired is simply willed. And the negatively oriented entity has full sway in determining that which will come to him. To such an entity, the will is sent to grasp and take. In many ways, although this sounds like plunder, service to self-will can be uncannily hidden. And it is not at all obvious to the service to others polarity. When something is appropriate to desire and when it is not. All things that come into the sensing apparatus seem natural. And it is only by extensive repetition that the entity begins to form a structure of priorities which listen to the incoming data and choose what to pay attention to. This instrument, for instance, is notorious for not knowing where she is. But this is not because this instrument is not paying attention. It is simply that this instrument has chosen to prioritize some of the deeper levels of incoming data, so that that which is occurring upon the surface is often left far behind by this instrument, as it desires to penetrate to the heart of catalyst. This has been a progression spanning this instrument's incarnation, which is well over half the century that the one known as Jim is now rejoicing at achieving. Each of you has done to some extent, some greater, some lesser, conscious work in disciplining the awareness so that the incoming data will make not only some sense, but more and more a particular kind of sense. In the parables of the one known as Jesus, this entity frequently said at the end of a story, "Let him who has ears to hear, hear." And this is the quest of each seeker, to develop ears that hear ever more accurately the song of love that rushes through each moment of experience. Third density, your earth plane, is a world of great solitude and sorrow, with each entity shut up from each other entity in ways that do not occur before this density or after it. This is a density of metaphysical darkness, lit only by that pale moon of hope and faith. And yet in this dim light, there lies a depth of truth that shall never be touched again. For only in this density has the Creator given itself the luxury of not knowing. Thusly, as each experiences himself, the Creator experiences itself in an unspoiled and untouched way, totally spontaneous, totally free. And if that entity that is you finds that heart of love that is the deepest truth, that finding is completely real, for it is not at the surface of things that this truth is obvious. It is not obvious that all is one. It is not clear at all that each entity is a creature and a child of love. Indeed, it is only by blind faith that we can begin to apprehend that which we do not know, and yet that which we do know, love itself. So when the seeker comes to those moments of startling lucidity, when that knowing which is beyond unknowing lights the sky of consciousness with that fullness of light which is true self-knowledge, there is a degree of joy that cannot be attained by those who already know the score. Around this habitation, we are able to see each flower and plant and tree moving rhythmically in the joy of perfect knowledge. The second density world embraces itself without self-knowledge, but with full knowledge of love. There is no doubt. There is no argument. There is no confusion. In the growing of seed into bud and bud to flower, in the dying down of that which is born, and in the rising again from seed, all is felt in that cyclic rhythm that is perfect, and all harmonizes, each serving each in infinite detail. Beyond this density, the choice having been made how to serve. The veil is again lifted, and each is again aware in the way that each of you is aware of the shape of this house and the color of the paint upon the walls, that all are one. Each knows the thoughts of the other and sees the complete commonality between that and the thoughts of the self. Yes, there is a great deal more to do beyond third density, but it is finicky work, careful, time-consuming, tedious even, compared to the adventure that you now are embarked upon, who live and breathe the air of the earth world. This is then, in a real sense, your moment of glory. And so what is the choice, precisely? although we cannot speak precisely, although the choice is always veiled in mystery, we would point in the direction of the will, which is as the verb in a sentence in which the nouns are made of faith, hope, love, and charity. What is the right use of will? The one known as Jesus spoke very clearly when it said, "Not my will, but thine." For you see, the choice truly is to surrender. The choice of the fool is to leap into mid-air, knowing absolutely nothing about what lies at the bottom of the chasm of unknowing. One chooses either to have complete faith and thus to remain calm in the midst of this sea of confusion, which is the earth world. This is not an obviously good choice. The choice to believe blindly seems quite foolish. And may we say that it is foolish. Upon the surface of events, such a choice as pure faith shall only rarely be obviously validated by experience. And yet, the energy that is released when a seeker chooses to live by faith is tremendous. It certainly flies in the face of logic. Logic dictates that one maintain control in order to better serve. And yet the way of logic is the way of death. For service is a living and vital thing. It blows as does the wind. And to be of service to another is an art. The beginning of this art is the refraining from using the will in eagerness to serve. As you attempt to serve others, always ask the self, as this instrument said earlier to the one known as Bob, what is being asked of you? For it is in response to what is asked that one may serve another. And upon a deeper level, as events impinge upon you, a good question to use as a touchstone is, what does the Creator ask of you? The answer to this can be known only from the heart, only from the intuition. For what the Creator asks is often illogical, often puzzling, even though one feels to do or not to do something. One cannot precisely explain why. But when there is a strong intuition, we recommend and encourage the will to follow that intuition. Now, we do not suggest that you give up desiring. Indeed, we would encourage you to hone your will, to sharpen your desire. But let that will and that desire be to know the Infinite One. For the basic choice of one who is, shall we say, trapped in time, is how to meet each moment of that time. Do you meet this moment with your heart open, with your spirit at peace? If you cannot say that you do, then there is introspection, thinking, ruminating, meditating, that might aid in achieving more clarity. There is a great art to nurturing that self which has so much within it, but which needs the kindness, the acceptance, the awareness of a supportive self. We leave you, as far as this first question is concerned, in midair. This is not the density of firm ground. Truly, when at last you do not mind free falling, you shall have arrived at a reasonably comfortable metaphysical stance from which to gain a somewhat more accurate view of the rhythmic beating of destiny. Blown by the winds of free will, that destiny has a surety, a sure-footedness that cannot be moved by decisions that turn you from one direction to another. You cannot go away from the right path. For those lessons that you came to explore, those lessons of how to love and how to allow being loved, are fluid and living, and they can move with you wherever you go. So in the sense of making tragic errors, we ask you to be fearless. You cannot make a mistake, metaphysically speaking. For your lesson and your destiny shall follow you wherever you are moved to go. Yet to cooperate with that divine destiny is often to allow the little will to die away, that the greater self and the greater will might be presented more clearly. We would at this time transfer this contact to the one known as Jim, thanking this instrument for its service and leaving it in love and in light. We are those of Akul.
Each again, in love and in light, through this instrument. At this time, it is our privilege to ask if we might speak to any further queries which remain upon the minds of those present. Is there another query at this time?
So much a query as simply an expression of gratitude for the words. I've listened to the leadership and I really enjoyed the time that we did spend together. Your record likewise, although I'm sure you're aware of the challenge you've had constantly. I just wanted to say it's great to spend some time with you.
I am Kuo, and my brother, we share your sentiments, for it is in these the joining together of vibrations in these circles of working that we are able to not only be of service to you, but are able to experience much of what you experience as you query us concerning your life patterns. We are most grateful to each for this great opportunity. Is there another query at this time?
This is completely stupid, but I was just wondering, when Abigail starts meowing like that, as she frequently does when the meditation starts, is she responding to your vibration? Is she talking to you?
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, my sister. We are aware of the entity known as Abigail, and that this entity is indeed able to perceive our vibrations, for in many cases this small entity finds our vibrations somewhat jarring. And indeed, as the contact was transferred to this instrument, the one known as Abigail vacated the lab. This entity in this working, the one known as Abigail, was also responding vocally to the other second density creatures feeding outside the window. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, thank you.
I am quiet. We thank you. Is there another query at this time?
Yeah, cool. I'll just throw something out there right off the top of my head to kind of summarize the parts that I remember. Is it in the application of the will towards the deeper desires that bring the lessons to the entity so that they might hone the application of that will?
I am quiet and am aware of your query, my brother. We would substitute for the a word application the surrender of the will. As the entity moves further along its path of seeking, the ability to fall freely through the experience is an ability which opens the entity's inner resources and channel, shall we say, to such an extent that the pre-incarnated choices are more easily accepted and, shall we say, danced with. The attempt to apply will and through discernment to plot a practical and wise course is in itself useful more for the direction of intention and the cultivation of one's motivation than for the actual plotting of the course. Is there a further query, my friend?
Karma has often spoken of L&L in terms of it being prepared for her and Jim, and their role is something to step out of the way. Now, as that applies to the seeker and the surrendering of the will, I'm assuming that that's pretty much, it's sort of along the same lines. It seems to me that blah. I haven't had a chance to get any of those anymore. So traffic cop in my head is not a big deal. It just seems to me, I guess, that maybe it would be helpful for the sequel in surrendering the world to perhaps come to the realization of the way it is before. The way it's prepared for the sequel, and the sequel is going to surrender the world and go along for the ride. Is this along the lines of?
I am quiet and am aware of your query, my friend. In general, we would agree with your summation, but would also emphasize the importance of the means of surrender that the entity seek within the meditative, contemplative, and prayerful state to open the self to such a degree that the one creator moves through the being, that the entity surrender to the creator rather than to circumstances or other entities. Is there a further query, my brother?
I have to admit, I don't understand. I'm confused by the use of the term application of will and surrender of will. And it's simply because of the terms. Surrender is a word to me that has always involved giving up. Whereas will to me has always seemed to be an active kind of component thing. And I'm having difficulty visualizing it in the past, but I wonder if we can help it in this respect.
I am quiet and am aware of your query, my brother. One applies the will well when one is able to look at the experience about one, to ascertain the choices available, the opportunities presenting themselves. And much as one feeds this information into a computer and lets the work of the mind take place, then it is the balancing operation to seek in meditation the voice of the greater will. There, one surrenders preconceived ideas about how the experience should be and the entity should partake. There, this surrender opens the self to greater possibilities, to the greater will of the higher self of the One Creator. And when this has been felt at the heart of one's being, whether the choice be yea or nay, to follow that choice, though it may present difficulties to the mind and preconceived notions. Is there a further query, my brother?
I get the feeling then that in the seeking, as any seeker anywhere, pursuing the desire to know the Creator, the difficulties that arise as a result of that choice, and I do believe that they do arise as a result of that choice, are nothing more than simply, would those be considered the initiatory experiences, the letting go of the preconceived ideas, the surrendering that you speak of?
I have a call, and am aware of your query, my brother. Again, in general, this is correct. For the perceived difficulties, the perceived nature of the experience in its entirety, is the meeting of the incarnational self with destiny and various notes in this musical score that we are calling a destiny may seem discordant, disharmonious, and out of place. Yet when examined carefully and taken within the being as a portion of the self, there can be harmony achieved, and the great score of the pre-incarnative composer may then be completed. Is there a further query at this time?
Only one other. Connie and I, and I'm sure you are aware, are planning to get married, and we would like to do the ceremony, but we don't have an address. Could you go to your address, please?
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, and your humor is much appreciated. We would be happy to receive our mail at this address. We hope that our gift is the pleasing. Is there another query at this time?
Not for me.
Yes. Sometimes, in fact, frequently, it happens that a certain distance down a given path has been already traveled by the time one begins to get the sense that perhaps this is not the path one wishes to be traveling. And yet the matter can be very much complicated by the fact that in the meantime, one has a certain emotional investiture in the course of action one is neck deep in. And at this point, there is something almost amounting to a need one experiences to see the matter through. Can you address the question of need as it comes into play in relation to the prospect of being able to release the need?
I am quite and aware of your query, my brother. The path is the path for each. Whether every portion is recognized or appreciated, many times the need to change a course is more the need to clarify the present moment. Each entity will move itself upon its path in a manner which is most comfortable to that entity in the metaphysical sense. For much in the physical illusion will seem to be greatly discordant and very uncomfortable. It is well for each to remember that no seeker travels alone, though each may feel great loneliness. It is well to remember that unseen hands, teachers, friends, and companions from before time move with each entity and offer guidance and counsel whenever sought by the seeker. It is well, again, for each seeker to remember that the course being traveled was chosen, that this is not the density of understanding. It is the density where little is understood. Yet within this environment and these circumstances, it is possible to so strengthen the will and the faith that the experience gathered is vivid, unique, pure, and of great variety that would not be possible were their understanding here. Thus, this is the treasure of this illusion. The constant need to understand what cannot be understood builds great strength of faith and will. Is there a further query, my brother?
No, thank you.
I am Kwong, and we thank you, my brother. Is there another query at this time? With you upon your journey. We consider it a great honor to do so at your invitation. Is there a further query at this time? I am Kwong, and as it appears that we have, for the nonce, exhausted the queries, we would once again thank each present for inviting us to join you this day. It has been, as always, a great honor to do so. And we would remind each that our words are but guides and possibilities. Take those that ring true to you and leave behind those that do not. We are known to you as those of Kwo, and we shall take our leave of this instrument and this group at this time, leaving each as always in the love and in the ineffable light of the one infinite creator. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.
As we allow the light to go back to its source, let's put in it both. Can you feel with me feeling? I'll go through my list and then you add your names. Anne, Judy, Ophelia, Ethel, Spider Rainbow, calm clarity, my own clarity, the Curtin family, Dean family, Walter.
I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me.